Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
And I thank you for your prayers this last week. I'm feeling much better, not 100%, but much better. Today we have the privilege to celebrate the Holy Feast of the Epiphany, this time in the Christmas season in which we remember the revelation of our Lord to the Gentiles, that Christ, even though he came to us as a Jew through the Jewish nation, came for all peoples. That's why his church this day is composed of Gentiles and Jews. All those can convert and follow Christ. And we hear, particularly in our gospel today, this beautiful story of the Magi from the East. We know it well. It's such an essential part of the Christmas story. These Magi, or wise men as we call them, probably very wealthy men who had time and leisure to study, recognized in the constellations this new star. And because of their knowledge of astronomy, they realized that this star represented a newborn king in Israel. Now, they knew this because this star formed in the constellation of Leo. And Leo represents, of course, the lion. And at that time, everyone understood that Judah, the land of Judah, their symbol was the lion. We know the Old Testament reference, the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Christ. So in this, they recognized a new king is going to be born, and not just any king. This king is announced by the heavens themselves. And so they make this long trek, and they go to Judea. They go to the current king, because it makes sense, right? If you're looking for the new king, he's probably the son of the current king. So they go to Herod, and they say, hey, where's the king? We want to honor him. Herod's a little perturbed. He's heard no news of this. Clearly, the Jews didn't recognize this new star that was formed in the heavens. So he asks the wise men of Israel, and they tell him this new king, this Messiah, the Christ, is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And so he tells the wise men, they go to Bethlehem, and they find Jesus. They prostrate themselves before him, giving them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it's obviously very appropriate that they give him gifts, not only because he's clearly a special king, but because it's his birthday. Don't we do that? We give gifts to people on their birthday. So it's very appropriate. That's why we have that tradition here at Christmas time to give gifts to one another. But at your own birthdays, does everybody give gifts to one another, or do they only give you gifts? I mean, it's nice to share these gifts at Christmas time, but the most appropriate response is taught to us by these Gentiles, that Christ is the one who deserves gifts at Christmas. Not, I mean, every day of the year, but especially at Christmas, because that's his birthday. I'm sure he was rightly honored by these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we know that that's not really what he wants from us. He didn't come into this world to be treated like an earthly king. He's the king of heaven and earth, and the type of gifts he wants are us. He wants us to make an offering of ourselves to him. And so in reflecting on this, I was reminded of a story my mom used to read to us growing up. I think it was called The Gift, although don't quote me on that, I can't remember. Some of you will recognize it. So this newlywed couple, it's their first Christmas together. They're very poor, didn't have any extra money to spend on gifts. But each of them wanted to give the other a very special gift. You see, this wife, she had very long, very beautiful hair. And so her husband really wanted to give her this like nice silver brooch to put in her beautiful hair, to accent her hair perfectly. He knew she'd love it, but he didn't have enough money for it. So he wasn't sure what he was going to do. And the husband, he had this antique pocket watch. It was handed down to him from father to son for generations. It's an heirloom of his family, very special to him. And so his wife wanted to get him a pocket chain, right? He was so poor, he would just tie it on a bow, like a string, onto his coat pocket, because he couldn't afford a proper silver chain for this watch. So she wanted to get him this beautiful silver chain for his pocket watch. But again, no money. So Christmas time comes, and they hand their gifts to each other, and she opens her gift, and it's this beautiful silver brooch. It's exactly what he wanted to get her and what she would have loved. And he opens his gift, and it's this beautiful silver pocket chain. And he was, of course, very grateful for this gift. The problem is that she had cut off all of her hair and sold it in order to buy him the chain. And he had sold his pocket watch in order to buy her the brooch. But here they were, her with no hair and a hair brooch, him with no watch and a pocket watch chain, giving up the very thing that was most precious to them as individuals to try to give a Christmas gift to their beloved. And I can tell you, they would have kept those presents. I mean, she was kind of the lucky one, I always think, because her hair can grow back, but his watch is not going to grow back. But nonetheless, those gifts were very precious to them, even though technically they were useless, at least at that time. Precisely because they reveal how much the other was willing to sacrifice for them. And that's the test of love, isn't it? How much someone is willing to sacrifice for you. And it's a beautiful story, and I hope it's true, but regardless, it reveals to us what we all desire in our relationships. We desire people to love us that much, and we would like to be able to love others that much. Now, Jesus, again, he doesn't want you to sacrifice your antique pocket watches and your hair necessarily. He wants you. He wants you to give yourself to him. So how do you do that? You all know it's the same message we preach throughout the year. You cannot love the God you do not see if you do not love those you can see. So Jesus says, you want to love me? Love your neighbor. And your closest neighbors are always your family. Spouses, children, parents. Those are your closest neighbors. And they're always the hardest to love because they're the closest. Which is why that's the test of love for Christ. Our Lord is far less concerned whether you love some person in Africa or even down the street if you don't love your own family members. That's the sacrifice he wants from you. What are you willing to give up for him to them? And it's so important that we remember why we are sacrificing for family members. And it's not because they deserve it, because most of the time they don't. It's because Christ deserves it. You know, Christ would deserve your self-sacrifice even if he had never died on the cross. The beauty is that he sacrificed himself for us first. He was worthy of honor and respect and adoration even just for coming into the world as a man. But he loved us perfectly. He loved us to the end, and he wants us to love each other in that same way. So that's the test throughout the rest of the year, to make this gift of yourself to Christ through sacrifice to those within your own family. You do that, and you will prove your love for Christ. Now today, we are going to, at the end of Mass, have a commemoration or a blessing of married couples. You're going to not really do a renewal of your vows. The church doesn't really like that idea because you can't renew something that's permanent. It just is. So actually, last night at the homily, I accidentally said remove your vows instead of renew your vows. Yeah, they got a kick out of that too. Freudian slip, I think. But no, we're not allowed to remove the vows. They're permanent. So it'll be just a commemoration of your vows. So I'll ask the married couples at the end of Mass to stand, and you'll do that. But you couples are, from the standpoint of Christ, the most important example of love for your families. Your children learn to love by you. And you know this. They imitate what you do, what you say. And you'll be able to tell parents how well you gave an example of sacrificial love to your children by how well they love as they grow up. And so in this commemoration of your vows, remember what you offered, what you promised to God out of love for your spouse, and be willing to fulfill that promise each and every day. And if you do that, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice you personally may have to make, then you will be a good disciple. Then you will love the Lord as he has asked you to. And your children will grow up with all of the grace and holy example that they need to do the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.